pushed back on the last one. But didn't they have more or less all of that anyway?
Rincewind nodded. That was the puzzler. The Horde had it all. They had everything that money could buy, and since there was a lot of money on the Counterweight continent, that was everything. It occurred to him that when you'd had everything, all that was left was nothing. The valley was full of cool green light, reflected off the towering ice of the central mountain. It shifted and flowed like water. Into it, grumbling and asking one another to speak up, walked the Silver Horde. Behind them, walking almost bent double with horror and dread, white-faced like a man who has gazed upon direful things, came the minstrel. His clothes were torn. One leg of his tights had been ripped off. He was soaking wet, although parts of his clothing were singed. The twanging remains of the lute in his trembling hand had been half bitten away. Here was a man who had truly seen life, mostly on the point of departure.
"Not very insane, as monks go," said Caleb. "More sad than mad. I've known monks that frothed."
"And some of these monsters were long past their date with the Knackerman, and that's the truth," said Truckle. "Honestly, I felt embarrassed about getting them. They was older than us."
"The fish were good," said Cohen. "Real big baggers."
"Just as well, really, since we've run out of walrus," said Evil Harry.
"Wonderful display by your henchman, Harry," said Cohen. "Stupidity wasn't the word for it. Never seen so many people hit themselves over the head with their own swords."
"They were good lads," said Harry. "Morons to the end."
Cohen grinned at Boy Willie, who was sucking a cut finger.
"Teeth," he said. "Ha! The answer is always teeth, is it?"
"Well, all right, all right. Sometimes it's tongue," said Boy Willie. He turned to the minstrel. "Did you get that bit where I cut up that big tarantula?" he said.
The minstrel raised his head slowly. A lute string broke.
"Mwah,"
he bleated. The rest of the horde gathered around quickly. There was no sense in letting just one of them get the best verses.
"Remember to sing about that bit where the fish swallowed me and I cut my way out from inside, okay?
Mwah.
And did you get that bit when I killed that big six-armed dancing statue?
Mwah.
What are you talking about? It was me what killed that statue. Yeah, well, I clove him clean in twain, mate. No one could have survived that. Why didn't you just cut his head off? Couldn't. Somebody had already done that."
"Here, he's not writing this down. Why isn't he writing this down? Cohen, you tell him he's got to write this down."
"Let him be for a while," said Cohen. "I reckon the fish disagreed with him."
"I don't see why," said Truckle. "I pulled him out before it hardly chewed him. And he must have dried out nicely in that corridor. You know, the one where the flames shot up out the floor unexpectedly."
"I reckon our bard wasn't expecting flames to shoot out the floor unexpectedly," said Cohen.
Truckle shrugged theatrically.
"Well, if you're not going to expect unexpected flames, what's the point of going anywhere?"
"And we'd have been in some strife with those gate demons from the nether worlds if Mad Hamish hadn't woken up," Cohen went on.
Hamish stirred in his wheelchair under a pile of large fish fillets, inexpertly wrapped in saffron robes.
"What?" "I said you were grouchy, what with missing your nap," Cohen shouted.
"Ach, right."
Boy Willie rubbed his thigh.
"I got to admit it, one of those monsters nearly got me," he said. "I'm going to have to give this up."
Cohen turned around quickly.
"And die like old Vincent," he said.
"Well, not...
Where would he have been if we weren't there to give him a proper funeral, eh? A great big bonfire, that's the funeral of a hero. And everyone else said it was a waste of a good boat. So stop talking like that and follow me." "Mwah, mwah, mwah,"
the minstrel sang, and finally the words came out.
"Mad, mad, you're all stark staring mad."
Caleb patted him gently on the shoulder as they turned to follow their leader.
"We prefer the word berserk, lad," he said.
Some things needed testing.
"I have watched the swamp dragons at night," Leonard said conversationally as Ponder Stibbons adjusted the static firing mechanism. "And it is clear to me that the flame is quite useful to them as a means of propulsion. In a sense, a swamp dragon is a living rocket. A strange creature to have come into being on a world like ours, I have always thought. I suspect they come from elsewhere."
"They tend to explode a lot," said Ponder, standing back.
The dragon in the steel cage watched him carefully.
"Bad diet," said Leonard firmly. "Possibly not what they were used to." But I am